Tonight, high drama as the Donald Trump Veep Stakes goes right down to the wire. Major contenders, Trump family meetings. Also a bombshell why Trump is suing a former campaign staffer for $10 million. A day of mourning in Dallas, the first funerals for the fallen officers. A sea of blue begins the painful goodbyes. NBC News exclusive, a rare one-on-one interview with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in Damascus. We confront the man called a murderous dictator. Hunt for a serial killer, striking after dark and killing people in cars and driveways. Tonight, a city in fear, streets and playgrounds empty. And robocall alerts, scam calls soaring. Technology that tricks your caller ID, and people are getting bilked out of thousands. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Donald Trump, who once turned fielding job candidates into a hit TV show, is borrowing some of that flair as he builds suspense tonight over his vice presidential pick, expected to be announced on Friday. After publicly auditioning candidates on the road over the last week, he ramped up the chatter and the guessing game today after a series of meetings with some of the apparent finalists. Trump's VP choice becomes even more critical as our new poll of battleground states shows the gap between Trump and Hillary Clinton narrowing. NBC's Hallie Jackson has details.
With Air Force Trump grounded for repairs, a longer layover in Indiana letting Donald Trump secretly summon his VP shortlist to the Hoosier state. Posing for pictures after a private meeting with Governor Mike Pence that included his kitchen cabinet, children Ivanka and Don Jr.
The conversations that we've had between two families is something Karen and I will cherish the rest of our lives, whatever the outcome.
In the running mate race, Trump's now narrowing his options.
Well, I'm actually looking at 10 people.
Maybe.
We have five really good candidates. We have more than them.
Over the last 48 hours, going from five finalists to four, then...
We have it down to five people.
Now...
At three, potentially four, but in my own mind, I probably am thinking about two.
Newt Gingrich avoiding prying eyes altogether. New Jersey's Chris Christie speaking by phone with him yesterday. Trump teasing his audience at a rally with Pence last night.
I don't know whether he's going to be your governor or your vice president. Who the hell knows?
Donald Trump will. Aides caution the decision's ultimately his alone. Sources close to Trump confirm he hasn't settled on someone yet, but will appear with his VP pick Friday.
He needs to choose someone who's going to reassure conservatives, someone who is going to be ready for office on day one.
Trump's unusually public process, fitting for the former reality show star who knows suspense sells. His VP search, part of the show.
It's a little bit like The Apprentice. You'll find out sooner or later who the last one standing is.
And in the midst of this VP search, a strange and potentially distracting twist. We're learning tonight Trump has filed a $10 million arbitration claim against a former campaign aide, accusing him of trying to spread suggestive rumors about senior campaign staffers. Lester?
All right, Hallie Jackson and Hallie Jeannot, we're just 5 days from the Republican National Convention, at which Donald Trump and his VP pick will be nominated. And we've learned there are some late changes being made to the security plan there in Cleveland in response to the ambush attack on police in Dallas. NBC's Jacob Rascone is there.
The city of Cleveland now forced to make last-minute security changes.
Dallas was a wake-up call for a lot of people. You know, it causes all of law enforcement, it causes all of this country to kind of step back, take a look at what we're doing and how we're doing it.
What do we want? Justice!
Tens of thousands of demonstrators are expected downtown during the convention, where it is legal to openly carry a firearm. The police chief asked today if he'd prefer protesters not bring their guns.
Of course. Of course. But it's the law in this state. And as police chief, I'm bound to uphold the law in this state.
Two rings of security will surround the convention center. First, the secure zone inside and directly around it, controlled by the Secret Service, where no guns are allowed. then the wider event zone where protesters will be and where guns are allowed per state law. But other items, including air rifles, knives, paintball guns, even steel-tipped umbrellas, are prohibited.
I started Bikers for Trump last August.
Pro-Trump groups like Bikers for Trump, initially planning a victory rally, now ready for the worst.
We are in a position, if need be, to stand with and help protect the police from these...
With your own guns.
Well, I myself won't be carrying a gun, but I can't speak for the rest of the guys. I know many bikers do carry concealed permits.
Come up off your seat.
Some 5,000 officers will be on hand to keep the peace.
Part of the Secret Service secure zone includes these 8-foot-tall steel fences, which were just put up. And the city of Cleveland says that hundreds of officers on bikes will help separate potential hostile groups as the first protests are scheduled for later this weekend. Lester?
Jacob Rascone in Cleveland. Thanks, Jacob. Hillary Clinton was on the trail today, not letting up on Donald Trump, as our new poll in some very important battleground states shows this race is tightening at a critical juncture right before the V-picks are announced and the conventions begin. NBC's Casey Hunt has more.
I believe
Hillary Clinton facing troubling times in critical battleground states.
We need a president who can help pull us together.
Our new NBC News Wall Street Journal Marist polls show Clinton and Donald Trump tied in Ohio. In Iowa, a virtual dead heat. One bright spot, Pennsylvania, where she leads by 9. Clinton today trying to rebound with a somber plea for unity in the wake of killings in Texas, Louisiana, and Minnesota, taking some responsibility for the divisive tone of the race.
I cannot stand here and claim that my words and actions haven't sometimes fueled the partisanship. I have to do better, too.
But she quickly turned to a blistering attack against Trump.
Donald Trump is so dangerous.
Clinton today calling him a threat to democracy.
Imagine if he had not just Twitter and cable news to go after his critics and opponents, but also the IRS. Or for that matter, our entire military.
Trying to make sure her supporters stay mobilized in a tightening race.
Polls that show states like Ohio close is going to scare a lot of Clinton supporters, but it's also going to keep them from being complacent. That's one thing her campaign really needs right now.
Tonight, the Clinton campaign is watching to see who Trump will pick as his vice president as she narrows down her list. Agricultural Secretary Tom Vilsack's in that mix, and so is Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, who's getting a tryout tomorrow with Clinton on the campaign trail. Lester.
And the guessing game continues. Casey, thank you. The anguish was palpable in Dallas today, where 3 of the 5 officers killed in last week's ambush were laid to rest. Thousands came to pay their last respects, their families surrounded by blue as fellow officers honored the fallen. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has more on an emotional day in Dallas.
Today, deep in the heart of Texas, Dallas was devastated.
One thing I would always say to my dad when he walked out the door was, "Goodbye, Daddy. I love you. Be safe." And tonight we say our final goodbye, Daddy. We love you. Be safe.
Her father, Brent Thompson, had remarried just 3 weeks ago. His wife, Emily, a fellow rapid transit officer, a newlywed, and now a widow.
To the coward that tried to break me and my brothers and sisters, your hate made us stronger.
This is a celebration of life.
Senior Corporal Lorne Ahrens was a gentle giant, once a semi-pro football player.
Lorne appeared invincible. When you're with Lorne, you also felt invincible.
Sergeant Michael Smith was a cop's cop, known for his upbeat attitude.
My heart is broken. And I'm full of rage. He was taken so senselessly. My brother's murder will not be in vain.
While Dallas is in mourning, other officers are on edge. In Baton Rouge, authorities made several arrests after they say several guns were stolen, possibly to kill cops, just days after the shooting death of Alton Sterling. His 15-year-old son, who broke down at a news conference in the days following his father's death, now pleading for calm.
Yes, you can protest. But I want everyone to protest the right way. Protest in peace.
Tonight, Dallas is struggling to find a different kind of peace.
Late today at the White House, President Obama met with law enforcement officials and civil rights activists trying to bridge that gap of mistrust. Here in Texas, the two funerals for the remaining two fallen officers are now set for later this week. Lester.
All right, Gabe, thank you. In Arizona tonight, police are working to catch a serial killer before he strikes again. In the Phoenix area, seven people have been gunned down while simply sitting in their cars or walking into a home. Detectives have few leads and no motive, and now many are living in fear. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer is in Phoenix for us tonight with more.
When the sun sets in Maryvale, Arizona, fear grips the community. Police say a nighttime serial killer who has now murdered at least seven people is on the prowl. This sketch, the first solid lead detectives have.
We haven't determined any link between victims, and we haven't determined any link between our victims and a possible suspect.
Striking after dark, the killer is indiscriminate, targeting men, women, and even a 12-year-old child. Each victim gunned down inside their car or a driveway. B'Angela White lost her mother, Crystal.
Every day, it doesn't feel real. And I have to remind myself, tell myself that my mom is no longer here and that I don't have a mother anymore.
Horacio Pena was gunned down in front of his home. His sister, Nancy.
It's just a senseless act. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just some guys or girls, whoever, have a gun and they're just like, hey, let's go shoot these people.
The majority of the murders have all taken place within a few miles of each other. With the crimes unsolved for 5 months now, neighborhoods like this one are a ghost town.
With streets and playgrounds empty, this community is on edge.
Innocent people are being killed. We never know who's next. That's pretty sad.
A serial killer stalking these streets, and many fear he will soon strike again. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Maryvale, Arizona.
A big moment in London, a new prime minister taking charge, Theresa May, the second woman to serve as prime minister, Margaret Thatcher, of course, being the first. May took the reins after meeting with the Queen following David Cameron's resignation. That was all expected, but what came as a big surprise to many today was the appointment of former London mayor and major Brexit backer Boris Johnson as foreign secretary. Now, an NBC News exclusive, rare access inside Syria for a one-on-one with embattled President Bashar al-Assad. As U.S.-led airstrikes on ISIS continue in his country, Assad is also locked in a civil war that's cost at least 250,000 lives. His government accused of, in some cases, targeting civilians. Our Bill Neely sat down with President Assad today, and we want you to know that it was filmed by the presidential press office, but there have been no editorial changes to the content. Tonight, Assad speaks out about how history will judge him and on Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump has no experience in foreign policy. Does that worry you?
Who had this experience before? Obama or George Bush or Clinton before? No one of them had any experience. This is the problem with the United States. You have to look for a statesman who has real experience in politics. For years, not because to have position in Congress for a few years, or Minister of Foreign Affairs, for example. That doesn't mean you have the experience.
So a man with no experience in foreign policy in the White House is not necessarily dangerous in your view?
If anyone who doesn't have experience in any position, a White House or in the presidential palace in Syria or in another country, of course it is dangerous for the country, generally.
How do you think history will remember you?
I hope that the history will see me as the man who protected his country from the terrorism and from the intervention and saved its sovereignty and the integrity of its land.
Because you know what the first draft of history is saying, that you're a brutal dictator. You're a man with blood on your hands, more blood on your hands than even on your father.
No, again, I will draw that example. If you have a doctor who cut the head because of a gangrene to save the patient, you don't say he's a brutal doctor. He's doing his job in order to save the rest of the body. So when you protect your country from the terrorists and you kill terrorists and you defeat terrorists, you're not brutal. You are patriots.
Bill Neely with Syria's President Assad. More of that interview on Nightly News tomorrow. Still ahead tonight, the next generation of telephone scams. How thieves are upping their game with the robocalls to try and trick you out of your hard-earned money and what you can do to protect yourself. Also, tens of millions at risk of severe weather tonight, a scary sight dropping down from the sky. We're back now with a warning about a growing kind of telephone scam you may be familiar with, robocalls. They're annoying, they're disruptive, and increasingly they're a way for con artists to steal your money. NBC's Olivia Stearns talks with one woman fleeced out of thousands and explains what to do if you are targeted too.
Hello.
When Jean Johnson got a call from a policeman saying her grandson was locked up, she panicked.
They wanted to make sure that nothing happened to my grandson.
She sent the $9,000 he was asking for, only later realizing it was all a lie.
Hello, I have a message concerning important personal business.
Fraud calls like this have doubled in the past 3 years, primarily targeting the elderly. The average consumer now receiving 10 such calls per week.
Every time this screen refreshes, that's another scammer or robocaller dialing into our system that we're analyzing.
Pindrop is a security firm based in Atlanta, specializing in fraud prevention and telephone scams.
Is it just an increase in volume, or are the scammers actually getting more savvy?
It's a combination of both. We're seeing them be able to use technology to their advantage to target more victims in a shorter amount of time.
They say most fraudsters use spoofing technology, which generates a false caller ID. In seconds, they dial my phone, manipulating the ID to make a familiar number appear.
Lester?
How hard was that to do?
I've always said that a properly motivated 13-year-old could do it in about 30 minutes.
The most common scams? Calls pretending to be from Google, the IRS, or telling you that you've won a cruise. To protect yourself, don't just trust your caller ID. Download apps like Truecaller or Privacy Star that promise to identify spam calls. If someone asks for money, hang up. Above all, never reveal personal info.
It'll say the caller ID or the
After contacting the police, the family recovered most of the funds. And Jean is keeping a close eye on her grandchildren. Olivia Stearns, NBC News, Atlanta.
We're back in a moment with a newlywed who is a viral hit because her honeymoon photos are missing one important thing. Some 45 million people are on alert in the Midwest throughout the night as severe storms continue to pound the region. Heavy rain along with wind gusts of up to 60 miles an hour, knocking down trees and power lines. And take a look at this jaw-dropping sight in Florida where storms spawned this water spout off the coast of the Panhandle. After decades of being hounded by the paparazzi and tabloid rumors, a big star is saying enough is enough. In an essay published on the Huffington Post, Jennifer Aniston writes that she's fed up with the tabloids, quote, dehumanizing view of females focused solely on one's physical appearance. She goes on to say that the constant speculation over whether she is pregnant or gained weight, quote, reflects the warped way we calculate a woman's worth. A newlywed has become a viral sensation when she took her honeymoon photos without her honey. A young couple was all set to celebrate with a bought and paid for trip to Greece, but when her new husband was denied a visa, he insisted she go anyway alone. So she posed at all the sites with a sad face and holding out her arm where she wished her husband could be. When we come back, the family of one of the fallen Dallas police officers opens up what his daughter will always hold close to her heart. Finally, tonight, our emotional interview with the family of one of the police officers laid to rest today in Dallas. Transit Officer Brent Thompson was both a newlywed and a father to seven children. Tonight, his loved ones are opening up to our Joe Fryer about what they'll always remember about their fallen hero.
For as long as his brothers can remember, Brent Thompson wanted to work in law enforcement.
He has a huge heart, and that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to help everybody.
Yeah, he was mischievous, and he never smiled. He always smirked, but his smirk, it was hilarious.
After serving in the Marines, he did become an officer, first working in his hometown, Corsicana, Texas.
He's a fixture in Corsicana, and he always will be.
Where the massive turnout at a candlelight vigil for Thompson offered just a glimpse at how much he still loved here.
Brent Thompson answered that call.
And then he was honored yesterday by not just one, but two presidents.
It was very powerful, very moving. The five empty seats got me. I know that was a very fitting tribute to them.
Thompson quietly remarried just 3 weeks ago.
I can't imagine knowing there was a wedding and only weeks later now there's going to be a funeral.
It's very sad that she only got to spend that much time with my brother.
Just 43 years old, Thompson was a family man with seven children, including 20-year-old Sandy.
I feel very honored and proud to be able to say that I am Brent Thompson's daughter.
Once she asked her dad, why did he pursue such a dangerous job?
He was like, I hope that there would be an officer that if you were in trouble, they would help you, and I should be able to do that for someone else's kid.
By all accounts last Thursday, that's exactly what he did.
There's no doubt that his actions that he took specifically saved lives.
Do you walk away from these past few days with just any sort of message you want to share?
Just love everybody.
Yeah.
Joe Fryer, NBC News, Corsicana, Texas.
And that is going to do it for us on a Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.